This is WHTC in Holland. Time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our Talk of the Town number here, 395-1450. Our guest today, Dr. Herwimer. And good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Duke, listening audience, medical offices in the greater metropolitan area.
All right. Well, I think one of the things we ought to talk about is getting your vaccination again. Huh?
Yes, yes. The flu vaccine is available at some places already, at some drugstores and so on. Ours will be available for our patients probably in September.
Okay.
And it's a similar vaccine to last year's vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't give you the prevention. The vaccine last year will not have enough antibodies now, give us enough antibodies to fight off the flu.
Oh, yeah.
And so please, please, please get the flu vaccine unless you're allergic to egg. Because it's still an egg-based vaccine. And we have medication that you can take at the first signs of the flu that are effective.
Mm-hmm.
And patients, especially with chronic illnesses, should get the flu vaccine.
Yeah.
And that includes the lung diseases, the heart disease, neurological diseases or immune problems in patients with malignancies and so on. They really are the prime group to receive the flu vaccine. And there's many forms of it. Some will be given just into the skin or just below the skin. So, most are given still into the muscle.
Yeah.
And for children, we can use the nasal spray vaccine for the flu. But the problem with that is that's the live virus, whereas the injections are the killed virus. So I'd rather treat with the killed virus preparation.
It seems like they're giving the flu shots earlier now.
Yes, yes. And I think that has to do with the global travel situation.
Oh, yeah.
More and more people are just traveling overseas into endemic areas. Asia is probably the most endemic area initially for the flu. And then, unfortunately, it just spreads to the rest of us.
Well, that's Ebola kind of caught up with the
same thing. Yes, yes. The Ebola virus almost is analogous to the AIDS virus, except it's a different genetic makeup.
I see.
But mucus secretions are the culprits in transmission of this disease, including intimate activity, blood transfusions, etc. So if you have a break in your skin and you get a blood spot on you from someone that's infected, you can get this horrible virus.
Yeah.
And it also started in primates again. Animals in the bush, monkeys and so on.
Monkeying around in the bush.
Monkey. We will not go any further.
Right.
Touché, Jim.
Yes.
You should write that to the CDC.
I don't know about that. We're here with Dr. Herwimer this morning, and if you have a question for the doctor, you can call us here at 395-1450. What else we got to talk about this morning, Doctor?
Well, ragweed has started to bloom. Ragweed is here.
It's here.
And it peaks around Labor Day or the week after Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to pray for a early frost. I hate to disappoint people, but an early killing frost We'll do away with that pollination and with that plant.
And we had a lot of rain the other day.
Yes, and
that
makes it...
keep it under control a little bit? Or?
No.
No?
It makes it bloom even further. And each plant, and I've said this before, each plant of ragweed produces at least 1 million pollen particles per day.
Yeah.
Pollen grains per day. So Mother Nature is not very kind to ragweed allergy sufferers.
Sounds like kind of a hopeless
thing
to battle.
And the more you till the soil, the more abundant ragweed becomes.
Right.
Because it loves the tilled soil.
Yeah.
And some of the pollen grains and so on.
I remember you said that ragweed in the cornfield.
Absolutely. And in the blueberry fields too.
Yeah.
And we have both varieties. We have the short ragweed, which grows up to about 4 feet, and we have the giant ragweed, which is about 12 feet tall at times. Mm-hmm. Almost looks like a little tree.
Mm.
But don't go near it if you're allergic to it,
right.
Because it will trigger all the symptoms of allergy, including asthma and sinus problems and everything else.
Yeah.
And some people even break out with hives from it.
Really?
From making contact with the pollen, if they're perspiring.
Yeah.
So it can trigger hives.
If they are susceptible to this, can they take shots that
protect
them?
And oral therapy, once insurance industry gets around to approving it, I'm very optimistic next year that the insurance industry will finally... allow us to dispense about 6 weeks before August 15th.
Oh.
It has to be about 6 weeks before August 15th. The ragweed tablet for desensitization.
Mm-hmm.
And you put it under the tongue.
Really?
One a day.
Is it a prescription item?
It's a prescription item. It's available at your own cost with some coupons, but... the coupons don't defray much of the cost.
Mm.
But once insurance companies hop on board, I will be prescribing this about 6 weeks before the ragweed season starts. And during the ragweed season, they still have to take it once a day. And about a week to 2 weeks after the ragweed season ends, that is after the first killing frost.
Yeah.
And it's a much easier way of giving therapy because you can do it at home. The initial dose has to be given in the office, but then the subsequent doses can be given at home, can be taken at home.
Well, that's good news anyhow.
It is. Yeah. It is. Injections, I think, will be a thing of the past slowly but surely.
And we're here with Dr. Herlimer, and you have a question for the doctor. 395-1450 is the number. All right.
Talking about weather.
Yeah.
With thunderstorms, my allergy sufferers have more allergies. Why?
Is that right?
And more asthma.
Mm.
Twofold reasons. One is that the pollen particles are actually separated, are totally destroyed.
Uh-huh.
So you will inhale particles of pollen, number one. And number two, the ozone that's created from the electrical discharge.
Oh, yes, the electricity.
And ozone here on the planet, on the surface of the planet, is very irritating to the lungs and sinuses. So if there's a thunderstorm, the best idea I have is to go indoors, ideally into an air-conditioned environment, and your allergies will not flare.
Mm-hmm.
And wait a few minutes after the thunderstorm is finished and so on, because we're hearing more and more of lightning strikes this year, especially because of more severe weather. And so take shelter appropriately.
Yeah.
If you can hear thunder, then lightning is really nearby. And people have been injured or killed by lightning.
Don't take shelter under a tree.
Never under a tree. Never. Just go into a home or something, or just a shelter.
Yeah.
In a basement, ideally, or wherever.
We have a call on the line. Good morning, you're online with the doctor. Hello? Oh, here we are. Yes, you're on with the doctor.
Okay. Doctor, could you please reiterate that the flu vaccine is not for the GI, the stomach flu? I have so many people
come
in get that shot, and they think they're not going to vomit.
That's right. Oh, thank you for calling. Are you
calling
from the health center? Or?
No, I'm not. I'm a retired nurse, and I just
God bless you.
Tired of it.
You don't want to be called back to active duty?
I don't think so. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for mentioning that. Exactly. It helps prevent, we hope and pray, that it helps prevent bronchitis and pneumonia.
Right.
The GI symptoms, unfortunately, are not that effectively treated with our antibodies.
I think there's just one thing to do for them, and that is suffer.
Suffer and drink lots of fluid.
Yes.
And rest. Don't try to go out and work and everything, because that does not help your immune system. Your immune system needs to rest and regenerate. So, but she's absolutely correct. And as I said during my internship, there were many nurses that saved this little fellow intern, you know what. Where they came up to you, and it was late at night, and they said, doctor, are you sure you want to give this dose to the patient? And you said, oh, my goodness, yes. No, I don't. Oh, my. So nurses are to be praised.
Yes, they are. They are. And
They are the biggest helpers
angels
in medical.
Mercy.
They are. And they will always be, hopefully, you know.
Yeah, they are.
Very dedicated.
Good morning. You're online with the doctor.
My husband and I just got over whooping cough.
Oh, my goodness.
It lasted about 2 months.
Yes.
Wondered if you have heard of that going around in Holland, and I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Okay. It can happen anywhere. And, yes, we have sporadic cases in Holland. Usually during any year, we may have up to 7 cases here in the county, in Ottawa County and so on. And a lot of times it comes from unvaccinated people and also from our own grandchildren. When they do get vaccinated, sometimes we can contract the pertussis or the whooping cough from them. Or if someone aboard a plane, for example, is starting to come down with pertussis, then we can get it that way too. It's very contagious. And for that reason now, for the adult, I recommend the adult diphtheria vaccine, the adult pertussis or whooping cough vaccine, and the adult tetanus vaccine. Every 10 years.
Okay, got a call. Yes, you're on with the doctor.
Yes, I have a question for the doctor. He was talking about stomach flu.
Yes.
I want to know, does our intestines not like cold water? They like warm or room temperature water better? And I know people that won't drink cold water, and I like cold water. So I just needed to know the answer to that. What effect that has on our intestines?
I don't think it has really any major effect on the intestines. Because the water will warm up in the stomach and in the small intestines. And germs are carried by either cold water or warm water. They thrive more, I agree, in warm water, but one of the biggest problems we're having with hospital-acquired infections is waterborne bacteria that can get into our system through tubes, either tubes down our trachea, our windpipe, that is, or tubes out of the abdomen and so on. We can get waterborne bacteria into our systems, and some of those are very, very pathogenic or very virulent or very dangerous for our immune systems, because most of us have not seen those bacteria. Our immune system has not been able to react to it because it hasn't seen it.
Oh. Okay, thank
but,
you, Doctor.
It makes no difference with the temperature of the water as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you much, Doctor.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
You too.
Thank you.
There's a new prescription nasal spray that I almost forgot to mention, but the problem with it is when anything new comes onto the formulary, it's first not covered by most insurance companies. They want you to try the older medications first. Then about 6 to 9 months later, they will put it on the formulary if it's an effective product or if it's better than the previous product. And it's called Diamist, and I'm very excited about it because it is a combination medication that contains a little bit of cortisone, very low-dose cortisone, to shrink down the tissues that are swollen in the nose, especially, and in the sinuses. And also it contains an antihistamine in spray form, all together in one. And the antihistamine helps control the allergy symptoms directly in the target organ, the nose.
Got another call.
Wonderful, wonderful combination.
Good morning. You're on with the doctor.
Hello.
Hello.
I have had allergy shots for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And last fall, I had a knee replacement. And I have been off them since about last October.
Okay.
And I can tell that, you know, I am not doing as well as I was when I was on them. Now, after not being on them for a year, can I pick up again?
Yes.
In smaller, like going every couple of weeks?
Right, right. Okay. You sure can. And like I said earlier in the program, next year we hopefully may be able to put you on a tablet under the tongue once a day.
Mm-hmm.
So that is in the horizon for all the allergy sufferers, okay?
Now, my problem is mostly sinusitis.
Oh, okay.
And I'm just wondering, would that be effective for the
Not as much. You're absolutely right. That's a very good question. No, it probably won't be as effective for the sinusitis.
Okay.
As compared to the allergy injections plus medication, of course.
Uh-huh.
And are you using the sinus rinse? Because that helps tremendously.
Well, recently I've had to be on an antibiotic and also a sinus medication.
Okay.
And so that is clearing up now.
Okay.
And I'm doing, you know, really well now.
I recommend something like, it's called NeelMed is the trade name of it. It's NeelMed Sinus Rinse.
Okay.
And you use distilled water. Don't use tap water and don't use well water by all means because of bacteria.
Right.
And once a day, you use either a bulb syringe or you use a neti pot. That has a little bit of salt in it, and you inhale that into the sinuses, and that still is, it's one of the oldest known things for sinus problems, and it still works very, very well.
Now, that's something I could probably
purchase
after this one.
That's right, after the infection.
Fluticasone.
Yeah.
I'm on that right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he said just use up the spray.
That's right.
For that until it's completely cured out. But then the other sounds like it'd be a good maintenance.
Oh, it is a good maintenance. We used to use it in the Navy appropriately because we like salt water.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're used to it.
Yeah.
We're used to it.
Right.
Well, thank you very much, Doctor.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
I was telling one of the girls out here a little while ago how we used to wash our clothes by putting a rope through the pants leg and throw them overboard and let them drag behind the ship for a while.
Cleaned them.
Cleaned them.
It yeah. sure did.
Of course, it was salt water and wasn't too good on your skin.
No, it starts irritating a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're right. Salt water does clean out.
Yes, it does. It does.
And including sinuses, and even in intensive care, they use saline lavage, they call
yeah.
it, for many different organ systems. And the main reason is it works.
Yeah.
Plus, bacteria don't like salt water that much.
No.
Algae likes it, but bacteria is such, not that much, you
right.
know.
Right.
Fresh water likes bacteria more, and algae also, unfortunately. But salt water is semi-sterile, let's say it that
yeah.
way.
Yeah, yeah. Especially seawater.
Seawater, way out in the Pacific where you were, and absolutely.
The water was just
very
as
clean.
Blue as could be.
Oh, beautiful water.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And I hope we can maintain it.
Looks like we're out of time for today, Doctor.
And it's been a pleasure, as always.
Yes, and we'll look forward to seeing you back again here next month.
I look forward to it, too.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Thank you.